It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I have to say that over the next 4 years, we will make America into the manufacturing superpower of the world, and we will end our reliance on China once and for all. We'll make our medical supplies right here in the United States. We will enact fair trade deals that create American jobs and grow American wages. We are going to bring our companies back home where they should be, and I've been doing a lot of it. But we are going to do it at a level that nobody ever thought possible. We will rapidly return to full employment, soaring wages, and record prosperity. We will hire more police, increase penalties for assaults on law enforcement, surge federal prosecutors into high crime communities, and ban all sanctuary cities. We will protect government benefits for American citizens, not for illegal aliens. We will appoint prosecutors, judges, and justices who believe in enforcing the law, not their own political agenda. We will ensure equal justice for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. We will defend the dignity of work and the sanctity of life. We will uphold religious liberty, free speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. We will strike down terrorists who threaten our citizens, and we will keep America out of endless, ridiculous foreign wars. We'll end surprise medical billing, require price transparency, which I've already signed into law, which, by the way, kicks in on January 1st. You better elect me, North Carolina.
All right, that was President Trump last night in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to a very enthusiastic crowd. And I have to say, he knocked it out of the ballpark, at least the first 20 minutes, which is what I watched. He made it very clear where he stands. He made the contrast as contrasting as it could be. And actually, as he was talking, he is President Trump. He says some funny things. He really does. Outrageous sometimes. But he's speaking the truth. And that's the thing that strikes me. He is not exaggerating what's happening now. He's spot on. And so the people responded powerfully to him. Interesting that North Carolina has the 2020 presidential election. People are all thinking about that, but they also have a gubernatorial election. Their governor, Roy Cooper, narrowly won. I'm sorry, I can't think of that, but it was over the gay marriage issue and the accommodations of bathrooms that became a big issue in North Carolina. North Carolina used to be a solidly red state, but has trended blue because of the influx of so many retirees from northern and more liberal states. And so they have struggled to maintain their what is their natural bent, which is there's a lot of military, a lot of retired military. They have been a strong conservative state up until the last few years. And who would have thought that, you know, the bathroom debate would be the thing that would divide North Carolinians? Nevertheless, Roy Cooper pulled it out and became the governor. And then, of course, he's been one of the harshest governors when it comes to implementing strict COVID restrictions, you know, dining and restaurants and gyms and everything. Roy Cooper has been one of the worst. And so I know the people of North Carolina, many of them have been very frustrated with him over that alone. And so, but I did not realize he was up for election until last night. Honestly, I didn't. I did not know. So he's coming up for election on November 3rd, the same as the president, and he's being challenged by Dan Forrest. Dan Forrest is the lieutenant governor, and he is, you know, a strong conservative governor who was very vocal on the bathroom issue, not in favor of men going into women's bathrooms. So, but the thing that interested me when I was looking at the polls, it looks as though Roy Cooper, in spite of what I just said, and in spite of the fact that North Carolina has traditionally been, up until the last few election cycles, a very red state, that Roy Cooper is, according to the polls, still way far ahead of Dan Forrest. I just think that's interesting. I don't understand that, but we'll see, you know, if those polls hold. But that's what's happening in North Carolina, and the president did an incredible job. I actually talk about plain speak. He talked about Joe Biden several times last night, but I think this next clip probably synthesizes the message about and the contrast between Joe Biden and President Trump as much as anything. This is clip 11.
He's starting to talk a little bit tougher now. Did you notice that? He sees what's going on. His polls are dropping like a rock, and he sees what's going on. Now he's starting to say, no, we need law and order. No, he didn't say that, did he? He'll never get to say that. He can't say that because then it'd lose the whole left. And let me tell you, the left is running that party. You take a look. You don't want to be dealing with the left. These people are stone cold crazy.
Hell, that's the president. These people are stone cold crazy. You know, the reason that the Washington elites can't stand the president is because he is so blunt. You know, they would never have said, we wonder about their motives. They are a challenging bunch. They maybe don't feel the same way about law and order as we do. That's Washington speak. The president says they're stone cold crazy. They're stone cold crazy. That's the language of the people, right or wrong. That's my language, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that bluntness because that's exactly what we're seeing. I'm gonna get into some of the updates on the craziness, the stone cold craziness in our streets and restaurants and McDonald's and other places a little bit later on. But Vice President Biden, of course, has been speaking up more. He's come out of his basement. He's been making public appearances more. And this is what he said in regard to the same topic about defunding police. Let's listen to clip 3.
The ads, I'm sure you've seen them, although a lot of Pennsylvanians are seeing them because there's a lot of ads out there right now. They would say that you want to defund the police, and it seems to be trying to frighten some folks. Can you set the record straight on that?
I not only don't want to defund the police, I'm the one calling for $300 million more for local police, for community policing. I also think we should add social workers and psychologists help police on 911 calls. The only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump. Look at his budget. He calls for cutting police funding for local, state and local help by $400 million. Once again, he's pathological.
Yeah, well, I believe that's the pot calling the kettle black because Joe Biden, he hasn't used the word defund police. They've been very careful. He talks about redirecting, and he just spelled it out. He said to you that he's for sending in social workers and psychiatrists when there are 911 domestic violence calls. Could I remind you that Jacob Blake was the one who was wielding a knife and threatening police at that last domestic dispute. Jacob ended up being shot in the back by the police. Jacob, according to, he's being charged, you know, with sexual assault, according to the aunt of the victim. He had raped her more than once. I think we should send a social worker into that situation, don't you, to talk Jacob down and get the knife and kind of calm things down between the girl that alleges he raped her and Jacob. I think a social worker or a psychiatrist would be the best. A psychiatrist may be better than a social worker, but really that's how ridiculous. Joe Biden has talked about a redirecting funding. And so it's just another wording for defunding because he would direct that funding to social workers and psychiatrists. That's the left's plan. They're going to take care of their own. We can take care of our, we don't need police. We're going to handle this. Really ask people in Chicago, in the inner city neighborhoods, how it works when they try to take care of things themselves. They end up being ruled by the thugs. That's what ends up happening. So that's Joe Biden, you know, claiming that he doesn't want to defund. He doesn't say the word, but he has said it. They want to redirect the funding, you know, spread the wealth around for people trying to take care of conflict management, we'll call it that, in various situations. Send in the social workers, the psychiatrists. That's Joe Biden's solution. And I think most of you would probably just common sense will tell you that's not going to work. There are wicked people on our streets. We're seeing them every night now. There are the violent criminals who want to kill, want to steal, want to destroy, want to disrupt. Yeah, so send in the social workers and the psychiatrists. That's a great plan, and that's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have planned. Interestingly enough, Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin yesterday while the president was in North Carolina. And I don't have any audio of this. I don't know why. Surely somebody must have this audio, but I didn't find it. She was giving her speech. It was at a campaign event. Reporters were there. And I just want to read to you, this is the story of how the thing went down. And what is this outlet? New York Post. Okay, so the moment happened, they call this an awkward moment that happened with Kamala Harris. The moment happened during an in-person campaign event Monday with Black Milwaukee-based business leaders when state's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes tried to turn the microphone over to her to take questions from the press. Harris had already given remarks on the, quote, dignity of work, end quote, as a theme to the campaign, and Barnes figured that the vice presidential hopeful would be answering questions as reporters bemoan a lack of access to Harris and her running mate, presidential nominee Joe Biden. We are very honored, proud, and lucky to have Senator, soon-to-be Vice President Harris with us today, and I will pass it back over to you. I know you want to take some questions before you get out of here, Barnes said, before reaching over and offering the microphone to Harris. Before Harris could take it from Barnes, a member of Harris' staff could be saying, Oh, I think we're all set. Thank you, we're all set. Thank you, another voice said. Barnes then said into the microphone, Oh, all right. After it became clear Harris wouldn't be answering questions, reporters began shouting out queries for the vice presidential hopeful. So she's giving a speech in Wisconsin, and the person that's hosting her, the state's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, just assumes that she'll want to take questions because it's reporters all around. She tries to hand her the mic, and staff interferes and says, oh, no, we're good, we're good. Two staffers. No, we're good. You think they're not being managed? Do you think somebody is not calling the shots for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? I'm sure that Joe needs a little handling because of the diminishment of his capabilities. But Kamala Harris, I'm surprised that she's submitting to that, to be honest with you. Nevertheless, that's what happened in Wisconsin. Then I want to also mention, you know, on the issue of fracking, they were in Pennsylvania. Fracking, I haven't got really time to explain this, but I did a whole hour on this with a Wall Street Journal reporter a couple of years ago. It was great. I just loved it. But fracking is an American innovation. It's where we take our fossil fuels and have been able to break them down in miraculous, incredible ways, and that's how our energy capacity has grown so much in the last few years. But the left doesn't like fracking because it makes America really energy independent and because it's fossil fuels and they hate fossil fuels. So Kamala Harris was completely in favor of banning fracking when she was running for president. There is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. We have to acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is so enormous in terms of the impact on health and safety of communities. That's what Kamala said. And then Jake Tapper was interacting with Joe Biden, and he pretty much said the same thing. A New Hampshire voter asked him if he would stop fracking, and Biden answered yes. This is January 24th of 2020. The woman then said, and stopping pipeline infrastructure? Biden said yes. And there were other examples of this, which I don't have time to read to you. But yesterday, when Joe Biden was asked about fracking, he absolutely denied that he ever has been in favor of banning fracking. I was going to play the clip for you, but you hear the music. Maybe we'll start the next segment with this so you can hear, because you should hear it. You shouldn't. I want you to take my word because I want you to trust me. But I like to really play it for you when you can hear it, and you'll see. These are the things that I'm reading and watching, and I present to them to you as truthfully as I can. So when we come back, we will play that. You could see Joe talk about how absolutely not he's not against fracking in Pennsylvania, when, of course, he and his running mate have very much been against fracking. All right, there's a lot to talk about today. Well, when is there ever not a lot to talk about? We'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God.
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for a free sneak preview.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is coming soon. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
This is Pause to Pray. A chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Dan Brulette, Secretary of the United States Department of Energy. His office oversees matters regarding energy and safety in handling nuclear material. Revelations 4:11 reminds us that the earth and its resources are provided by God. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Dan Brulette in his role as Energy Secretary. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Access our free prayer resources to help guide you through this election season. Available now at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Christians across the nation are beginning to rise up and defy government orders banning corporate worship. In California, more than 12,000 people showed up at the state capitol worshiping in a sweltering heat wave. In Seattle, city leaders shut down a local park in advance of a massive gathering of Christian worshipers. It's ironic because the park was open for Black Lives Matter protesters and Antifa. To make sure the Christians could not enter the park, city workers set up temporary fencing, brought in heavy equipment to block the entrance. But instead of canceling the service, the Christians simply relocated to the street and called it a worship protest. Thousands turned out singing "Our God Reigns" as they stood in the streets and atop nearby buildings. Police did not intervene because it was a protest. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on the radio, or you can download the podcast at toddstearns.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Mr. Vice President, thanks so much for joining us. It's Labor Day, so let's talk about jobs a little bit, specifically in Pennsylvania. Fracking jobs, natural gas drilling is very important in this state. There are critics that suggest you're trying to have it both ways. That is, you want to tell the environmentalist wing of your party that you want to ban fracking, but you're telling workers here in Pennsylvania nothing to fear.
I never told the environmentalists that I'm going to ban fracking, period, number one. Number two, it's a flat lie about what President Trump is saying. I've said repeatedly on the record and during the campaign, what I did say was I would make sure that any new fracking taking place made sure the water supply and methane was not leaking. They're the two things. That's it. I will not ban fracking.
You know, the interesting thing about Joe Biden is that he is, old enough to be an old-time campaigner. And I've often, what used to happen when politicians of both parties would campaign around the country, because they had to work hard to get the presidential nomination, they spent time in little towns and little villages in Iowa and New Hampshire and other places around the country, they could pretty much say what they wanted to wherever they were, because there weren't recorders and phones. Things were not captured. And they could freely promise one thing to one group and quite the opposite to another group. And Joe Biden is of that era. He is of that era where they speak, like we say, out of both sides of their mouth, because he has said he's going to stop fracking. And so is Kamala Harris. As we said, now she's saying, no, she's not against it. But of course, she was against it when she was the presidential nominee. So I would just say that Joe has not caught up with the times, and he doesn't realize he can no longer do that. He can't say one thing one place and then another thing in another place, because it's all on record. And that's why the reporter asked him. Some people are saying that, you know, you're saying one thing to environmentalists and another to the American people. Is that true? And then Joe, no. I'm not against, he's in Pennsylvania. I'm not against fracking. So that brings me to another kind of a point about his abilities. I told you yesterday that when he was in Wisconsin and they opened it up for questions in this church where hardly anyone was there to hear him, the first person they called on was a young black girl. I told you this yesterday, but it bears repeating. In an African hairdress. She was American when she spoke, but she was dressed with a large, I don't know what you call that. It's beautiful, but it was bright orange, I think. So she gets up to ask the first question, and she says, I know I'm supposed to say what's on this card, but I want to tell you what's on my mind. Those are not the exact words, but that's what she said. So then we find later in the press conference, when it's time to talk to reporters, Joe turns to his staff, the same people that were evidently helping Kamala too a few minutes ago, that's, you know, taking the mic from her or making sure she did not get the microphone, not allowing her to take questions in Wisconsin from reporters. So Joe turns to that same staff. Who are these people? He turns to that same staff and he says, you know, I don't know who to call on. Can you call on the reporters? So the staff then calls on the reporters, and the reporters just happen to ask really softball questions. They'd make a statement about how horrible President Trump was and pretty much like, Joe, what do you think? And at one point, Joe Biden responded, that's a rhetorical question. He had enough presence of mind to understand that really wasn't a question. It was the reporter stating the case and then looking to him to say what? What should I say to that? So he's being helped, no question about it. And one of those moments happened a couple of days ago when Joe was in an interactive, he was doing, it was a Zoom, I suppose, Zoom or Skype, and a black young woman was asking him a question. And then before he could answer, he turns to these same anonymous people off to the side and says, you have to move that down. I can't, you know, basically I can't see. You gotta move that down. And then he proceeds to answer, which made everybody think that, do you suppose he's like reading his answers? Surely not. But you should hear it, because we actually think that's what was happening. Clip 6.
And I would like to know, what will your administration do to help them give them that chance? Thank you.
Move it up here. You know, there used to be a basic bargain in this country. Workers shared in the wealth their work helped create.
All right. You know what? Let's listen to that again, because he's not clear. But you'll hear she asked the question, then he says, move that up a bit. Well, he's not talking to her. He's talking to the staff, and he's reading from a screen. Let's listen to it one more time. Clip 6.
And I would like to know, what will your administration do to help them give them that chance? Thank you.
Move it up here. You know, there used to be a basic bargain in this country.
Anybody think that maybe he was asking for the person answering for him to finish their answer? Yeah, I think that's exactly what was happening. So I'm in Houston. The Democrats have a problem. That's all I can say. They have a serious problem with their candidates, both of them. But I want to turn for the moment now to what's happening in the streets. And let me do that by, you know, letting you hear what President Trump said last night in North Carolina. He was talking about Joe Biden in relationship to the rioters. This is clip 10. Let's listen.
Sleepy Joe Biden takes power. The economy will collapse. He won't even know the difference. If Biden wins, the rioters, arsonists, and anarchists win. Biden has now formed an unholy alliance with the most extreme and dangerous elements of the radical left. You know that, with Crazy Bernie and everyone. And by the way, you know who's further left than Crazy Bernie? Kamala.
Okay, so that was President Trump talking about. He's actually right. No matter how he says it, he's actually right about that. You remember Kamala, we played for you last week, a clip of her saying, the people in the streets are not going to go anywhere, and we don't need them. We need them to be there. We're basically in full support of what's happening in the streets. And I want to bring you up to date with something that happened. I've been really concerned, and I have mentioned this young man that was shot and killed in Portland, Oregon, on the streets. And remember, he was part of Patriot Prayer, and he and his buddy were walking down the street after a big Trump rally that was hang on, I'm trying to find his name, sorry, because I want to say his name, because part of my beef has been that they wouldn't say his name, Jay Danielson. So Jay and his buddy were walking down after the Trump rally was over and all those trucks came into Portland. Jay and his buddy, it was night, it was dark, were walking along, and you can see in now a now-released video that the guy that killed him, whose name is, has a name, Reinhold, something like that, his last name is Reinhold, who was said himself that he was 100% Antifa. You can see him off to the side waiting for these guys. And then they just kill Jay in cold blood. All right, so the feds, not the local Portland police, went after Reinhold. And I think it was last Thursday night, they, I don't know the details of it, but they went after him and he pulled a gun on them and he was killed. So that's over. But Jay Danielson died. He was part of Patriot Prayer. My understanding about Patriot Prayer, I don't know much about them, but they are Christians. At least they say they're Christians. I believe they are Christians. I saw the leader respond after Jay was killed, and he asked people there not to get revenge. He said, don't get revenge. You know, I forgot his words, but basically trying to bring healing. His name is Joey Gibson. Did you know what Facebook did in response to that? Facebook removed Patriot Prayer's group page, completely removed it. And all Joey Gibson did was say, we don't want to take revenge for this death. So that's the backdrop. So these guys from Patriot Prayer had a funeral for Jay in Vancouver, Washington, not British Columbia, Vancouver, Washington. And there's a local report on it. I think I should let them tell you, and then I'll comment on it. This is clip 8 from KPTV in Oregon. Let's listen.
Rex Fergus says that he was with a group who were in Esther Short Park Saturday to honor their friend Aaron J. Danielson, who was recently shot and killed in downtown Portland during a demonstration.
So we went down there to memorialize him, and after the event was wrapping up, we all decided to go to a local bar there in Vancouver.
Vancouver police say it was Charlie's Sports Bar and Grill off of Northeast 112th Avenue where this all happened. Fergus says a man came into the bar and started causing problems.
He came into the bar and immediately was aggressive with everyone that was in the bar. He was aggressive with the bouncer. He was aggressive with everyone that he came in contact with. He came into the bar, immediately pulled his phone out and started coming over to our tables and putting his phone in our faces.
Fergus says there was a confrontation in the bar where they asked the man to stop recording them. And then Fergus says eventually the bouncer asked the man to leave the bar.
As he went outside, there were guys who were in the parking lot that saw, you know, who he was. And Shane being one of them, pulled out his phone and started taking pictures of the guy in his truck in case anything happened. Well, something did happen. He jumped in his truck and he ran over Shane.
Ran this guy over in the parking lot.
This is video Fergus says he shot right after his friend Shane Moon was hit. Fergus says that Moon is still recovering in the hospital with multiple injuries, and he is urging the person responsible to turn themselves in.
He's not in custody, then the family is still in a very real danger.
Now, Vancouver police have not released a suspect description at this point. And despite a lot of information on social media about the suspect having different political ideology from the victim, Vancouver police say that they cannot confirm whether that is entirely true, but they are still investigating. Reporting live, Sarah Hurwitz, Fox 12 Oregon.
Well, what she's talking about You got the story. These guys were at the funeral mourning the death of their buddy that was killed. And according to them, this guy, Charles Holiday Smith, age 30, followed them to this bar after the funeral. And that's when he came in and you heard Rex Fergus describe how he acted. And one of the guys, Shane Moon, when they went outside, took out his phone because Rex said that they wanted to make sure they got a picture of him and his truck just in case anything happened. And, of course, something did happen. Charles Holiday Smith ran over Shane Moon. Now, Shane Moon is expected to, they've got a GoFundMe page set up for him. He's expected to recover. But I thought it was really interesting that in the last part of her report, she felt a necessity to say that they weren't sure about Charles Holiday Smith's political leanings. Because, you know, they have to distance themselves from this. That's what they always do. The media, I don't think there's, it wouldn't be hard, wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where Charles Holiday Smith was on political and issues and whether he's part of one of these Antifa groups, which he probably, why in the world would he follow them from the funeral and go in and do what he did? Okay, so anyway, that's what's happening out in the Northwest. I saw another video, I'm just remembering this, yesterday, and now the Proud Boys, I don't know much about them. I'm not in defense of the Proud Boys, I'm just saying, my impression is that they certainly are not leading with Christianity, that's for sure, because they're rough, and, you know, they are fighters. I think their pride comes from the response to, not Black Lives Matter, because it's a newer group than Proud Boys, but it's against the whole notion of racism being systemic in this country. They've kind of beefed up, and they want to fight. And so they were at a demonstration in the Northwest. I can't remember what town. And you see them fighting with a couple of obviously Antifa people. And it's funny how you watch the police go in and they immediately arrest these guys with the Proud Boys, not the Antifa. They completely, they don't do anything with them, but they are on the Proud Boys like white on rice. Can I say that? Like white on rice? And so it's just amazing. You know, when you live, you remember the cake bakers are from Oregon, Melissa and Jay. They were in such a hostile environment when they were forced to bake a cake, or some people tried to force them to make a cake for a gay wedding. And same thing with Baronelle Stutzman. She's from Washington State, and she's the florist who was set up by a couple of gay customers she'd served for years, who then tried to set her up by asking her to do their flowers for their wedding, and she wouldn't do it very kindly. And, oh, Baronelle, she's so sweet. But this is the environment that we're talking about in which they've been trying to live and work and do their lives. It's a hostile environment for people who love the country and certainly those that are Christians. All right, so meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, this is what happened. You've probably heard this story, but I don't think I played any of this yesterday. I told you about them going into this restaurant, outdoor seating, screaming at the people, taking people's drinks. Let's at least listen to it for a second. This is clip 13. Anyway, they're shouting. Yeah, it was a pretty dreadful scene. And they went in and took people's food. I mean, knocked it over, broke their glasses, drank some of their drinks. It was really obnoxious. And so another group of them, and it looks like to be the same group because of their clothing, went into a local McDonald's and started harassing the owner of that McDonald's, who was Black. You know, it doesn't matter about that, does it? So many of the Black Lives Matter protesters, like the white protesters that were cowering over that woman in, the northwest part of D.C., a trendy area. You saw that when they were bending over her, right in her face, screaming at her, demanding that she hold up her fist. They were all white. They were Black Lives Matter protesters, but they were all white. As I said many times, I will say again, really and truly, this has nothing to do with race. It has to do with lawlessness, wickedness, which seems to infect every race of people from my perspective. But when we come back, we'll listen to what happened at that McDonald's because I think it's interesting and worth sharing. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
The borrower is the slave of the lender. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Prior to the passage of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, over 80% of American families were debt-free. Today, however, over 80% of the American people are saddled with debt. I was asked recently what advice I could offer in the midst of the national tension we currently face. One of the things I said in response was to work toward getting completely out of debt. So much fruitfulness and faithfulness to God has been robbed from us due to the impact of crushing debt. One of the best things you can do for your family right now is to become debt-free.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. We will elect a president on November 3. The difference between the two candidates and the two political parties is stark and unmistakably clear. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Republicans believe this. Democrats do not. Democrats booed God out of the building and out of their party in 2012. This year, at their national convention, they kicked God out of the Pledge of Allegiance twice. This is a political party that worships the state in the same way that most of us worship God, as the source of ultimate authority, provision, and blessing. That is simply godless Marxism. The Bible also said it is the fool who says in his heart there is no God. The choice is clear. Do we want to be governed by fools or by those who share the faith of our founders in the God of the Bible?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In recent days, technology and other stocks have been aggressively sold off, most of them by high-frequency trading, a term that describes automated transactions by algorithm-driven machines. Kevin Freeman is a best-selling author and television host who is one of America's foremost experts on economic warfare. He warns that under present circumstances, enemies of our country could trigger such high-frequency trading on a mass scale to crash our capital markets. In fact, achieving that effect has been part of the Chinese Communist Party's unrestricted warfare strategy for over 20 years. Fortunately, Mr. Freeman points out that a protection against such a tactic is a measure known as the uptick rule. It was in place for 70 years, worked well, and needs to be reinstituted now to protect investors and defeat economic warfare against us. Learn more at economicwarroom.com. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You need to let us out. No. You need to let us out of the building, man. That's what you want to do.
All right, so I know that's hard to understand, but I wanted you to hear that. The same protesters that had the bullhorn at that restaurant in Pittsburgh and were screaming at people and then knocking over their food and drinking their drinks and screaming obscenities and telling them, give us what you owe us. It was an amazing scene. I don't know who would like that. Who would possibly fancy that might be attractive? And it is absolutely true that the Biden campaign is very connected to that group. There's no question about that. So that same group of protesters, at least based on their clothing and their bullhorn, they look to be the same people, went to this McDonald's. The manager was black, and they took the bullhorn in there and started like standing at the counter yelling with the bullhorn. And the manager wasn't having it. He just wasn't having it. And that's why he got out there, and that you heard him say, don't touch me, don't touch me. And then pretty much toward the end of the altercation, he said, touch me, hit me, go ahead, hit me. Because he was so mad at them that I think he wanted, you know, them to strike first. But that's the kind of lawlessness that we are in the middle of. And meanwhile, in Rochester, Minnesota, and this is the riots that have ensued after the death of Daniel Prude. Now, I don't claim to know all about that situation, but from what I can tell, he was, I think his brother actually called the police because he was running naked outside and he was threatening people, spitting on people. He was telling everyone he had COVID and spitting on them. And he was, now lab reports show that he was high on PCP. That's all I know. The police put a hood over his head, and he suffocated. That's what they're saying. I don't know anything more than that. And so that's what set off the mob in Rochester. So they're still rioting there. And so last night, one of the television reporters from WHEC, Charles Molyneux, was with a security guard. And they started chasing them, and they were threatened with a knife. One guy says, what does he say? I'm about to kill him, bro. And so there's video of this, and it was, so here's the news guy and this security guard, and they're wearing masks, and they are being threatened by this mob in Rochester. It's not a pretty thing. And the other thing is, the Rochester police chief then resigned last night. His name was LaRon Singletary. Reminded me, you know, he's, okay, he has a very nice effect about him. He spoke last night. He reminds me of Mike Singletary, who I knew in Chicago, Mike and Kim Singletary, the Chicago Bears player. So I don't know anything about LaRon Singletary, except that people say that he's been serving for 20 years, and he has a really, even the mayor said that he has a wonderful record. Well, he resigned, and all of his command staff retired with him. And basically, they are alleging, I don't know details, but they're alleging that they've been disparaged over this. That they're, basically, they're, I think, feeling that what's happening is very unfair. The mayor is called, her name is what? Lovely Warren. Lovely Warren made the announcement last night, did not know he was resigning. So, in other words, all the people in charge in Rochester have stepped down. And so, that's a big deal. And now we know, the same thing has happened in Dallas, in Seattle, in Richmond, Atlanta, and Portland. And most of them, interestingly enough, of that group, four of them are female, two of them are male, four of them are black, and two are white women. There are no white men. It's all minorities or females. And the females are both black. And they're all, no, the two of the females are white, and I'm sorry, the way I broke this down for myself, I think two of the females are black. So it doesn't really matter. I'm just telling you, it's again, there's not about race. It's about the frustration with political entities above them not allowing them to do their jobs. And so this is leaving America even more unsafe. I'm sure you know that. That's pretty frightening. Think how the people of Rochester must feel. And one story I never got to this week was one of those protesters with Black Lives Matter in Rochester turned out to be an assistant principal. His name is, he is Stephen Lysenko. He's a ninth grade AP teacher at Spencerport High School in suburban Rochester. And I saw the video. He was just filthy mouthed, screaming at police. A teacher said he was an act of protest. And so he was screaming F the police while he was wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt and participating in the nonsense that went on a couple of days ago in Rochester. I think this morning it came into my box that he's been suspended or he's under investigation or something. We'll see if anything actually happens to him. But that's the situation with the protesters. But on a lighter side, I think I did not tell you this, but I want to tell you this. Nancy Pelosi, after her little video of her going into a salon without having her hair done, when no salon in San Francisco anyway can be open up. They can't do business. People cannot go get their hair done. And so Nancy Pelosi, her staff calls her hairdresser. She goes into the salon. She's by herself, and the camera catches her without a mask, getting her hair done in San Francisco when no one else can get their hair done in San Francisco. No one else can go into a salon. Kind of like Anthony Fauci at the game with his not wearing, the baseball game, the opening game, where he said baseball should not open with people attending because it wouldn't be safe. But it was safe for him. He threw out the first pitch, and then he went into the stands and didn't have his mask on, sitting right next to a friend of his, not social distancing. Mr. Anthony Fauci, with all the rules, doesn't keep the rules. And let me just say, the most important point to make with this is not that they have a double standard. That's pretty important. They think that you should abide by rules that they don't have to. But the more important thing to take from that is that they know that what they're saying is not the truth. They know that the danger of COVID is not what they're saying. They know, because if they thought it was so dangerous, why wouldn't they comply? Why wouldn't they be fearful? Why would they go out like that? Why wouldn't they stay home? If it's so dangerous, it's going to kill all of us. Why wouldn't they protect themselves, because they know it's a lie. So just remember that when you see, because de Blasio was caught dining out, another governor from one of those northeastern states was dining out in a neighboring state, without a mask. So one of the states that was really shut down, different standards, yes, but the most important thing is they know it's not true. They know that there's not really the danger that they're presenting. It's just not true. So so these women who were, they call themselves angry salon customers, went to San Francisco outside Nancy Pelosi's house and demonstrated and hung like blow dryers and curlers all over the tree in front of Pelosi's house, which I think is really funny. I mean, isn't that kind of funny? Based on what we're seeing with other kind of protests, that just seems very appropriate. Let's hear it for those kind of protests. That are nonviolent and that make a very important point. The other thing that you may not know, did any of you read that Bonhoeffer book by Eric Metaxas? That was one of my favorite books. I loved that book. I probably spent a couple of years in that book just reading it slowly because it was so inspiring to me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Lutheran, former Lutheran, who criticized the Nazis and paid the ultimate price for doing that. Well, Eric Metaxas is the author of that, and Eric is also, he's the voice of the, it escapes me now, Chuck Colson's radio broadcast. Anyway, Eric is very well thought of. He's a great writer and a great thinker. And he was one of the people who was assaulted after they left the White House when President Trump gave his acceptance speech, week before last. But Eric, and his wife were walking along with Harry Jackson, who is a black pastor. Harry's older guy. He was had a cane, and these protesters swarmed them. One especially on his bicycle, screaming obscenities. They love the word F, you know. They love that word. That seems to be the most important word in their vocabulary. And you see on this video, this guy just screaming right in their faces. And he's got a bike and he's weaving in and out. And he heads for Eric and his wife and Harry Jackson. And he came like within inches of Eric. And Eric just cold cocks him, just lets him have it, knocks him off the bike. And So that's a story that a lot of people are talking about. And of course, you can imagine Eric's coming under criticism, but I don't know how much. And it does make you wonder. It's like, reminds me of like the Black Robe Regimen, those pastors in the Revolution that had their robes on. And then, well, one particular ended his sermon telling the people that he was going to go fight for the Revolution, took his robe off, and he had a uniform underneath it, and then joined and fought valiantly. A lot of pastors did that during the Revolution. So I don't, you know, I'm not making a moral judgment on that, except I do like to see people fight back. I have to say, I would be lying if I said otherwise. There's something in us that just says, don't, they cannot be allowed to do this. Listen, if I spouted off to my mother, you know what happened to me? I got slapped by my Christian mother. By my sweet, wonderful mother. She did not hesitate to whack me when necessary. And so that's the way I was raised, and I think that we've lost that whole sense of, it's like the young people that we're seeing out on our streets and some of their older 60 hippie friends never were really disciplined, and they don't. It's funny, when we saw the Proud Boys in that video yesterday, taking a few of them on, they don't have courage. Not really. When they actually are stood up against and someone pushes back, they fold. They fold. They cry. This one kid fell down. This girl was over him. She was spouting profanities herself, part of the Proud Boys movement. A woman, part of the Proud Boys. Don't ask me to explain the distinctions here. I know that Proud Boys is not a Christian group. Patriot Prayer is. But this guy, they knocked him over because she had assaulted her. So he's lying there covering his head. He's saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, good. Isn't that kind of what we need? Don't these protesters need to be account? Don't they need to be arrested? Doesn't there need to be consequence for what they're doing? Anyway, that's some of the things that have been happening. By the way, on American Airlines, they have announced that they're allowing their attendants to wear Black Lives Matter pins on their uniforms. And so many of the employees of American are upset about this. One veteran flight attendant said, I take offense to this. Serious offense. My husband is a law enforcement officer, as was my deceased father. And as far as I'm concerned, all lives matter. I'm completely disgusted at the fact that we can't show support for our God, our country, or our law enforcement officers. But when it comes to Black Lives Matter, American Airlines says that obviously it's different. Other people weighed in and said the same thing. Flight Services' Jill Serdak said they're working with Black Professional Network to design their own pin to be worn on the uniform. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist movement that wants to destroy the family and is especially interested in Black transgender females. That's part of their mantra, their manifesto. This is in writing. You can find it anywhere. How is it that corporations and companies and airlines continue to support them in the way that they do? Are we not capable of distinguishing the fact that Black lives, of course, they matter, from a group with the capital Black, capital B, capital L, capital M, that's a Marxist insurrectionist group? Are we not capable of making that distinction? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.